Hey, everybody, welcome to Hammer Down on the Market Scale Network. I'm your host, Mike Bush, and today's guest is super cool. When I got into PR marketing, it was interesting. I was working with tech companies, startups, and the goal was always get me on TechCrunch or get me in the Wall Street Journal. And PR people who really delved into the job got to realize that it wasn't necessarily getting in TechCrunch that mattered. It was getting to the reporters or the bloggers or the kind of the micro influencers that influence the big guys. And this next guest falls into that bucket. He took a new gig about a few weeks ago. And when you look at the LinkedIn announcement that said, hey, I'm joining Sunrise, it was a who's who of supply chain and logistics leaders coming out and saying, that's awesome. They're so lucky to have you. This is tremendous. This guy is everybody's buddy. He is Mike Diamond from Sunrise. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hey, happy to be here.
Oh, man. So, Mike, let's get right into it. You've been at it for a while. Walk me through your career path.
Yeah, so, goodness. Started out of high school, joined in the military. Did finance in the military for 8 years. Had a tour in Baghdad, Iraq during that time period, 2009, 2010. And then once I hit around 2013, made the decision I didn't want to serve anymore and was coming up on my ETS. So made the choice to start looking for civilian jobs. I had a friend that worked at Swift Transportation, which the terminal was right down the road from where I was working. And he got me in the door into the planning department, and it was a wrap from there. You know, I got into it, and I remember my interview with my old boss there. He showed me the AS400 screen, and if you've never seen it, it's literally just numbers, letters, colors. And I told him flat out, I was like, I don't know if this is a job for me. It's like looking at hieroglyphics. This is going to be very challenging. And he said, don't worry about it. Come in. We'll train you. We'll teach you. You'll be fine. And within 6 months, I was off and running. And I couldn't imagine doing anything else in my career. I mean, the supply chain world is so vast. There's so much depth to it. And going from a vertical like finance, where it's very, I don't want to use the word mundane, but it's very mundane. You're doing a lot of the same processes every day, very detail-oriented stuff. Into the world of planning trucks for a mega carrier. I mean, that is a complete whirlwind of learning and information. And I love being able to get in and do something different every day. You know, you're solving problems, you're looking for solutions, you have trucks that, you know, fall out of position, you got to find a recovery for. It's just so much fun. And I just couldn't imagine doing anything different. So I did that for a few years with Swift, a mixture of asset planning, and then did some account management for brokerage during that time period as well, which was great for me to learn that aspect of the business, get in front of customers, learn how to have those conversations. And then had an opportunity to move into a leadership role that I was really excited for with Napa Transportation, which is a regional carrier in Mechanicsburg. Stepped into a planning manager role there. And kind of oversaw their totality of planning operations during that time frame. Moved from there into more of a network focus role, as well as got to do some dedicated during that time. And then last stint there before coming to Sunrise, got to oversee their brokerage department for 2 years, which was a whole another world of learning. I mean, working assets. There's challenges, there's things that you have to figure out, there's problems that you have to solve, but then jumping into the world of brokerage, it's the same thing, but you have so much less control over everything that happens. So you really have to be, process focused and really focused on building out relationships with carriers. And, that was something that we did a really good job of in my time there. And I had a really good team that, worked with me there. And I miss them very much. They're good people. But then had the opportunity toward the end of my time there with Sunrise Logistics, which is where I'm at now, which is a subsidiary company of Four Seasons Produce. Stepped into that role, overseeing, I'm the senior transportation manager here, but I'm overseeing carrier sales, after hours, weekend operations. So similar functionalities to what I was doing. But the world that I'm working is so different. So different. I mean, you're stepping from general commodity freight, retail goods to produce and produce wholesale. And it's just like, oh my goodness gracious, what did I get into here? This is going to be insane. So I'm getting to learn now, I've been here, this is the end of my second week. So I'm getting to get in here and learn, a little bit of the port operations that we do, because we do stuff out of the Philly ports, and then also learn warehousing, because we do warehousing here, and learn LTL, because we do LTL through the produce world, and then also, learn the process of, our buyers and procurement from farms and growers out in the West Coast, and how that facilitates into our facility here in Ephrata, PA. It's just, it's very invigorating to get into a different side of the industry and see it. And I've really loved what I've learned so far, and I'm really excited to keep learning about the produce space.
Sure, man. A few weeks into the gig, what's the craziest thing you've learned about shipping produce or storing produce?
I think it's hard to drill down into one thing, if I'm being honest. My head's, on a swivel all day long trying to learn everything, but there's a lot of similarities to aspects of it. I ran, so with Napa, we ran chocolate confectionery. So there's some similarities in how you kind of operate the reefers in that regard. But I think one thing coming in that I didn't realize was like temp of berries was so low, right? You don't think about it, but berries have to run, 32 degrees coming across to make sure that they're intact, blueberries specifically. That was really interesting. And then I think learning, just the scale of our warehouse operations and all the things that they do in there. So we have packing that we do, but then we also have the warehouse side, and it's just how those combine together to run as well as they do, because they have a really, really good operation here, is amazing to me. I think a fun fact, and I put it out on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, a couple weeks ago. The banana ripening is fascinating to me. Like they'll bring in bananas, and the bananas are, super green coming in, and they'll store them. And then they're essentially to order by the stores. So stores will order and they pick a ripeness level that they want for those bananas to then come to the store for purchase and consumption. And the ripening here, there's two rooms that they use for bananas, and they also do avocados here. But the ripening that they do is actually, I guess, nationally acclaimed. They do a phenomenal job, and they're really, really well known for the ripening here. But that process was fascinating to me when I got into it.
Gotcha. So bananas and avocados, you've touched on both of them. If I'm not mistaken, a lot of those are coming in through the West Coast, coming in through a small port about 90 miles north of LA Long Beach, Winnie Mae. Are you taking goods by a train? Are you doing OTR? How are you actually getting a hold of those, or am I missing the port?
Well, so we have a lot of stuff. So bananas for us come through on the East Coast. I think they're coming through, I want to say, Wilmington. Okay. And then we pull them up here into our facility. And then I believe, I don't want to speak out of turn because I'm not 100%. I think the avocados are flowing through Philly Port. And then we pull those up here as well. So we don't do much out of the ports of the West Coast that I know of, but I'm not 100% on that. Again, 2 weeks in, still aren't everything. But, so if I say anything wrong, sorry. But, yeah, no, it's fascinating to learn, that business. And just, again, there's so much to it. It's just a lot of stuff, and it's really awesome to witness.
One of the things you mentioned, and it's funny because I've never thought about it, but Your point on blueberries and blueberries being intact, right? That, of course, they explode. So it never dawned on me that you were actually freezing fruit before we send it so that it stays intact and then defrosting it at point of destination. Is that what you're saying?
Well, so it's not freezing at 32 degrees. It's a temp that holds right there to just maintain, their temp. So as you transit the berries specifically, they can raise in temp through the transit process. So that's why they keep them at that cool level, to make sure that they don't reach, beyond the temp range that's acceptable for the product. So the drivers will pulp at the shipper or the grower that they're picking up from, and then they'll pull in here and they'll pulp again and all that fun stuff. And then same thing at destination, they'll do that same process.
Got it. Okay. Mike, what are some of the coolest things you've seen in your career? You've been at a few different companies, done some really fun stuff. When you talk to people and say these are the coolest projects or coolest part of my job, what do you explain?
Man, that's a good question. So a couple of things for me, I think, I've explained a lot of really cool stuff that I've done in just the 2 weeks here and learning about the produce world, which we've talked at length about. I think for when I was at Swift, it was really neat to be part of a lot of large scale projects. So, Swift did a lot of trade show movements, stuff like that. So you would do stuff for Disney on Ice in some occasions. So getting to experience like the logistics of, Disney on Ice going into Barclays Center in, the city, like that was wild to me to go through that process, staging all the drivers for it, talking to them about the process going in and out of the facility and how they're taking the equipment in and all that stuff. I would say the coolest thing I moved at Swift that I had a direct hand in was probably we did moves for Monster Jam. And I was a big monster truck guy when I was growing up.
Got it.
So I was moving one specifically consistently out of Eastern North Carolina. And I was trying to figure out, like, okay, what is this? Because I didn't know. And ended up coming out to find that it was Gravedigger that awesome. We were hauling out of Eastern North Carolina. I was just like, oh, my goodness gracious. Because I love Gravedigger and I love Bigfoot growing up. So it was just neat to see that. I think from the Napa side, like, getting to engage with, the chocolate was really interesting to me, and just see how that supply chain works. Because, you know, you think of chocolate, you're picturing the finished bars and all that stuff. But the different pieces of production going into these facilities and you know, moving loads that needed to be at, you know, high temp for caramel that was going down for production for candy, moving the logistics of moving peanuts out of, you know, some random facility in the South back up into a production plant for use. Like, it was really, really cool to see and witness that process. And then in that process, also learning how to build a dedicated fleet and what all goes into that and what that looks like. That was a lot of fun for me as well.
Very cool. Mike, if you were, one of the questions I try to bring to every guest is, if you're talking to some kid and, you know, maybe 18 to 23 years old, he says, you know, I'm thinking about supply chain, I'm not sure if it's the right career for me. What's the piece of advice you'd give that kid?
Oh, man. I would say that if you want to, work in an industry that allows you many different avenues to go, you're not going to be stuck in the same thing forever. You can always choose a different path within the same industry. And then if you want to solve problems, I mean, I said at the beginning, for me, like, I did finance and it was the same thing every day. Doing this, it's different every day. Even though you're doing similar functions and you're moving similar freight, there's always something different with it. And you're always working to solve a problem or come up with solutions for things that may be happening down the line. Like, you know, and as you go up levels, you know, that becomes even more of a focus, you know, strategy wise. You're thinking about problems in advance, trying to plan out, you know, what your business is going to look like in 12 months. So I love this industry and I couldn't imagine doing anything else. And I'd say, you know, if anybody's looking to get into it, if you really enjoy solving problems and being able to work together with people to solve those problems, it's a fantastic role to live in.
I've got a follow up for you. When you talk about working together with people to solve that problems, in the intro, I mentioned this, man, you have a super fan group of networks. I mean, there is like the Mike Diamond fan club on LinkedIn. What is your secret's probably the wrong word, but what advice do you give for somebody who gets into the industry and says, okay, I want to build a network?
Good question. I'll be honest with you. I haven't done it necessarily on purpose until recently. For me, it honestly is just organic. Like, I look for opportunities to talk to people and ask questions, and I'm not afraid to ask questions. I think that's a big piece of it for me. And then just having an honest conversation with people, like, you know, you think about it from the sales process, like, you get into a room with a customer that's a potential customer and you immediately go for a pitch, like, you're done. You're not going to make that sale. I think it's always most effective, no matter if it's sales, networking, whatever, to just have a conversation, get to know the person, truly want to get to know that person and who they are and what their interests are. Like, I think that's where I've been successful in growing my network. And again, I just like to talk to people, honestly. Like, that's just a big thing for me. I like to learn and understand what people are going through, what their background is, what they're dealing with, what they like, what they don't like. All that stuff's really cool to me. So I think that's why I've been able to build, you know, such a vast network. You know, on LinkedIn, I guess is what we'll look at, but, you know, Twitter, same thing. Like, it's just having conversations with people. So,
all right. So other than being, well, actually let's call it out. So you're one of the nicest guys in freight. We know this.
I don't know about that.
So if somebody from outside the industry, somebody even in the industry just wants to learn a little bit more, what's the best way to get in touch with you, sir?
To get in touch with me. So you can use my personal email, mdiamond2006@gmail.com. And then my work email is miked@sunriselogisticsinc.com. Happy to talk to anybody that's prospective for the industry. Happy to talk to anybody in the industry currently that has questions. Again, I don't consider myself a massive source of information by any means. I just like to have conversations. So happy to do so with anybody interested. But yeah, that's how you can get a hold.